Bear Down Bears fans, another edition of the Chicago Bears podcast coming your way. Pat the designer, Jonathan Hood, is back in the building. Host of Cap and J Hood, host of GKW, Good Karma Wrestling. Hoodie, I'm not going to lie. We need Roman Reigns back. I know this is a football podcast, but we need Roman Reigns back. I got 10 minutes.
I am all for the Roman Reigns conversation, as you well know, right? Nothing makes me happier than a little wrestling talk. That's for sure. So I would agree with you that the time will come. You know, this, the great thing about wrestling is it's like a male soap opera, right? It's just episode after episode. If it's a magazine, it's pages of the magazine. And if you get to a certain page and Roman Reigns will be back, that's why it's a soap opera. He will return. It is quite a time in wrestling, man. Money to be made, stories to be watched. It's a lot of fun. I enjoy it.
Yeah, I definitely need a little, we need something to save the bloodline, but we're not going to go too deep down the rabbit hole. Yeah, I mean, a little wrestling talk, though. Hoodie's the one that got me into wrestling. I was like, are people still watching wrestling? And I got back in, and I was like, oh, snap, this is pretty good. This is entertaining. So I'm back in. It's all good.
You know what, Pat? Bears, I will say this, Pat. I will just put a bow on this and say that don't be like, oh, people are going to tune out of the podcast. We're talking wrestling. I will tell you, there's a strong percentage that check you out every day that watch wrestling, but don't admit it.
We got closet fans, is what you're saying, Hoodie. There's closet WWE fans out here in AEW.
Yes, they will. But they'll never admit it, though, because it's kind of like one of those things, like, I'm not wrestling. I don't watch that. But let me just tell you, this Roman Reigns, dude, he needs to come back. Whoops. That's what that's about.
We know why. Hey, listen, there's a lot of these guys, but we know why you're watching. We all saw Rhea Ripley. You know what I'm saying? A little Jade Cargill. There's nothing wrong with it. Fine wine. But let's jump in. Hey, we want to let you guys know this episode is brought to you by the Hard Rock Casino in Northern Indiana, Las Vegas style gaming, just 30 minutes from Soldier Field, exit 6, right off of I-80 94. Hoodie, we may need some wrestlers on this team. As the Chicago Bears draft has now concluded, and the second round of free agency essentially is on its way here. What makes this interesting is the Chicago Bears, for once, because of having two top 10 picks and having to pay everybody out, aren't sitting at the top of the money pile. But there's still some positions that a lot of Bears fans feel need to be filled on this team. First things first, do you believe that the Chicago Bears head into the season with the team that they currently have and you feel confident about it? Or do you feel like the Bears need to add a little bit more to this team in the way of some low-money veterans?
So, Pat, I feel confident about the Bears to an extent. And the reason why is that we've never seen a Bears team stacked like this on paper. Never. I know that some of your listeners and viewers will say, I've seen it all before. You know, all this hype over a Bears season, and then it just falls flat. Nope. Actually, that's a lie. You've never seen anything quite like this with the Chicago Bears because – just look back in history. Over the last 10 years, I won't even go back into the 80s and 90s. That's irrelevant to the conversation. Let's talk about right now, over the last decade. You've never seen the Bears be able to stack the wide receiver position like they have, not only drafting one, but also getting a veteran to go along with DJ Moore. You've never seen the Bears at the top of the draft, not once, but twice. One turned into DJ Moore, the other one turns into possibly the best talent in the draft. Not just the best quarterback, possibly the best talent in draft in Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
So that's a lie. You've never seen that before. You say, well, you know, your running back situation, we've seen running backs before. Yeah, but DeAndre Swift is an upgrade from Khalil Herbert and Roshan Johnson. No shade at them. I thought it was a luxury, quite frankly. I was good with the running back room. Like, I like it. I like Roshan. Let's go, right? No. Even Ryan Poles said a little bit more seasoning. Just a little bit more seasoning in the running back position, and we'll do that. I've never seen a Bears team look at a defense like this, where you say, I'm good in the secondary, right? I mean, no more Eddie Jackson, so we're good. No, here's Kevin Byard, just for a little seasoning, right?
A little sprinkling.
Nothing wrong with that. So I'm, to an extent, I'm good with the Bears, but you see what I see, right? We're on the same page. You know you need more of a pass rush, and I know Eberflus sees that as well. So it's cool that you got Sweat and Billings and Dexter and Walker, but you just need a little bit more to solidify the pass rush. Hopefully they'll be able to acquire that.
I think that there's some names out there that are still, you know, maybe a little low budget, maybe somebody who was on the Bears last season, or maybe in the way of undrafted free agency, right? I love the fact that the Bears went out. Listen, there was so much kicker talk, so much punter talk, but there is, you know, in the fifth round, you go out and you get a young man in Austin Booker who, in less than 500 pass rush attempts, found a way to absolutely be effective on the field quite a bit. Ends up pulling away 8 sacks last season on a Kansas defensive line that had an ability to get after you, but a big part of it was because of him. But now on the flip side of that, right, like, how do you teach that guy? I think that's the one thing. We look around this entire Bears team, and everybody has a mentor, I guess outside of Caleb Williams, who they just feel doesn't really need one. We're not bringing the vet in, the KG vet, to stand next to him, and now he's got to, all right, let's go out here. This is how you become a professional. Yeah. No, this kid's got it already. We're not worried about him. But Roma Dunze's got Keenan Allen. He's got DJ Moore ahead of him. Okay, guys that I can sit here and learn with, right? When you get to that that third round and you're looking at Karan Amagaji, while we may not feel like they are great, there are veteran tackles that are ahead of him that can kind of show him the ropes, kind of get him equated with the blocking scheme and the blocking style that the Chicago Bears use, right? Like, there's a veteran in place to help these guys along at every position. I would be surprised to see the Bears not go out there and get that guy for Austin Booker. Even though Montez Sweat is there, it's a lot of pressure to put on a young rookie. And I don't know if DeMarcus Walker is that guy.
Yeah, I think that's all fair. What I can take solace in, though, Pat, is that the holes that you and I see, I know that Ryan Poles sees them as well.
Yeah.
There's been general managers in the past, not to throw any shade, but I'll throw shade, in which you just got some spackle and try to cover up that hole. You go to a party, right, and you say, oh, your house is so wonderful, but you know you open that door and there's dirty dishes, right? But hopefully that guest does not open the door. You know that you put all that dust in the corner behind the door just because you just didn't have time, but the crowd comes in, they say, oh, my God, you have a beautiful home. But in the back of your mind, you're like, hopefully they don't see that dust behind that door because it looks ghetto, right? You don't want that. So the same thing with the Bears, right? Your home looks so wonderful. My God. You know, look at that depth chart. Look on both sides of the field, on both sides of the football. Look what you've done. But even Ryan Poles says, we like our home, but we know that we need to add more. And I don't know who that's going to be, but just as you just laid out, I know Poles sees that too. And by the way, not only does Poles see that, Eberflus says that as well. That's why that there was conjecture in the draft, like, could the Bears be able to solidify their defensive line by getting someone early, you know, that early in the draft at 9, because Eberflus does have swing in the organization where he can say, hey, man, I'm the de facto defensive coordinator here. Could you help me? Help a brother out? You know, ultimately, like, that's why the Bears had so many linebackers. We criticized. If you didn't, I know I did. I said, if you're building the house, why would you build it from the inside first?
I remember. There was a lot of talk because it was very different to see somebody go linebackers before defensive line. And Yurko, my favorite quote from Yurko on the podcast was, if he don't get some pressure, these linebackers are going to be fighting for their lives. And they were.
Yes. And so because of that, I know Popo sees that as well. And whoever they bring in, by the way, Pat, it doesn't necessarily mean that is still solidified. I just want the Bears to have the kind of pass rush or better than they had toward the back end of last season. Remember how we were going to go through another season with no sacks? And then here comes Montez Sweat, and all of a sudden, I guess Washington, we're smashing their ass, right? So now I want to see that more often because that's really the hallmark of Bears football, getting after the quarterback and making them very uncomfortable offensively.
Some of your best remaining edges still out there. Emmanuel Agba is still on the market, but maybe a little more expensive than the Bears can afford. But number 2 on this list of best remaining edges, somebody who was here, and I want to get your thoughts on this. Would you be okay with the re-signing of somebody who probably let us down a little bit based on the signing last year of Yannick Ngakoue?
Yes, I'd be fine with that. I would. Because you know when he's healthy, he's productive. Yeah. I know it wasn't a bad signing, Pat. I mean, it's what we were pining for, if you recall, right?
We all wanted it.
I get that dude. And finally, like I said, Poles listens, right? And he got him. And it was underwhelming. It was 50-50. It was okay.
Yeah.
So if that's the best you can do, that is fine, because now you have a veteran along with young players on this defense, and I got no problem with that. I just want them to get a more of a pass rush. I also don't want the Bears to give up on Dexter also at defensive tackle. Because let's see now, right? This will tell a great story. They like Dexter. Do they love Dexter? See, when you hear Ryan Poles speak, there's always – he always looks dead in the eyes. He always just kind of just like kind of looking straight ahead. He just kind of like, because he doesn't want to give you anything. It'd be hard to play poker with that dude, right? Because his eyes are always the same. Like I can't play, you know, cards with him because he always looks the same. But like when he talks about Braxton Jones, we like Braxton Jones. We really like his development, and we like, so that's when his heart rate goes up to like just maybe 5, maybe another 10.
Right.
But when he talks about, other players, yeah, we like Javon. We like his, you know, development. So it's never like the excitement. He doesn't sit up in the chair. So I look forward to seeing what Dexter can do, because it's young talent, Pat. We just can't set him aside. Hopefully he can help too.
No, I agree. And I think the one thing about bringing back a guy like Unique is, one, you know, he already knows the defensive system. And two, last year when he was struggling, right, it was when it was, hey, Unique, we need you to be the guy.
Yeah.
But then you start going through his history, and he's always been the other guy, right? In Minnesota, it was Unique, and it was Danielle Hunter, right? Like, you start to look down the list, and you go, I think Unique's time in Oakland, he was opposite Khalil Mack, right? Like, you start to look down the list, and you go, no, he's a good pass rusher. He's really, really good. You know what he reminds me of? And maybe this is a sore spot for some Bears fans, but he turned into a good player. He reminds me of Leonard Floyd. Leonard Floyd was always the guy who was great opposite the guy, yeah, right? The first year we were excited about him. Oh, he's going to be our pass rusher of the future. I'm like, hey, a little light, but, you know, maybe. And then you see him out there next to Aaron Donald, and all of a sudden he's able to get home every time, right? Wow. You see him go, right, as he's gone through his career, he's always been that other guy who's able to find success because the focus is on somebody else. I think the season you got out of Unique Ngakoue last year, you have to view as the anomaly, mm-hmm, because to me, he's always been the 9-sack, 10-sack guy, the guy who's always creating pass rush pressure. But why was he doing that? Because there was that Montez Sweat guy on the other side. Guess what? Now we got that Montez Sweat guy, and you feel better about kind of bringing him back, especially coming off of it's not a ligament injury. It's not a, you know, he tore a tendon or he tore his ACL. He broke a bone. Bones heal. He's 27, 28. Like, he's still got fairly young bones, right? Like, bones heal. I'm fine with bringing him back in that scenario.
It's so funny you bring up Leonard Floyd. I remember when he was drafted. And if it's a Georgia player, you know what's going to happen. My phone's going to ring off the hook. As a Georgia guy, people are asking me, "Honey, what do you think of him? What do you think of Leonard Floyd?" I said, "Well, Leonard Floyd was never the reason for the pile, but he was always around the pile." That's as simple as I can put it. Like, he wasn't making plays, but he was always there. When the pile was made, he would dive in.
Right.
Because they were so talented. And people thought, you know, because of the long arms, this is the next Julius Peppers. I'm like, maybe the next Peppies, but not the next Julius Peppers. You know? So I said, but you lay out a great fact, and that is, imagine what happens when you're around more talented players than you.
Yeah.
Now look at Leonard Floyd. Now he's a beast. He's a monster. He is a difference maker for a football team. So, but with the Bears, they expect him, because of the draft status, to be the man. I'm like, that's not who he is. Hoodie, I mean, you watched every snap. Yeah, I did. That's not who he is. He won't be that guy. He's light from the waist down. Not going to be that dude. And it didn't work out in Chicago. But imagine what happens when you work with Aaron Donald. Now what happens?
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's definitely, listen, and I think that's the thing when I look at this Bears pass rush, right? And the one thing that I've commended Ryan Poles on the whole time, there's options. This is not a, you know, you're coming out of a off season where you feel like you've committed a lot to, hey, this is a win now type of team. This is a, we have to get the job done now type of team, or at least in the next couple of years. How are we going to continue to build in the future with the team that we've got? Because you got to commit so much money. And then you start to look around and you go, oh, wait a minute. What if you don't re-sign Keenan Allen? Well, you got to re-sign Keenan Allen. You gave up a fourth for him. Well, actually, draft compensation, if he were to walk out of the door, would be a fourth or higher. Oh, we got future capital.
Yep.
Oh, we're still adding for the future here, right? Like there's Ryan Poles at no point in his tenure as GM, which I commend him for, have I felt like your back's against the wall, you got to get it done now. There always seems like there's another option. And even with, right, we spent all offseason going, all right, he's going to address edge. There's edges out there. There goes Daniil Hunter. Okay, all right, we're still going to address edge. There's still guys out there. Oh, boy, we're signing edges left and right. Nobody's signing. We're not signing any here. What are we doing? We still got time. Maybe we can get the second tier guy. Oh, everybody's off the board. We're going to address it in the draft. We went quarterback and wide receiver. Dallas Turner fell 15 spots.
Yes. Yes.
You know what I mean? And we kept going, when is he going to address this? I guess, right? Like, is this the time? Do you feel like now is the time when you see him address this the most? Or do you feel like Ryan Poles good with a DeMarcus Walker? Right? There is something to be said on DeMarcus Walker being the other guy. He was a 7-sack guy when he was the other guy in Tennessee, right? There's guys on this team that maybe he looks at and just goes, no, the team's good enough. Let's roll. Let's figure it out.
No, he adds on because of what we're identifying. He adds on. Now, how much of an impact will that player make? That's a different story. But I think he likes the team, but he doesn't love the defense just as of yet. And I'm sure even if he's got something to say about it. Here's something I want you to take. I want you to take this from me. Pat the Designer, I want you to take from me this moniker, and that is the Bears are cool. The Bears are cool. You know why? Because Ryan Poles is cool. He's unflinching, right? He's unflinching. He's like, while we panic about the depth chart, right? What are you going to do about this pass rush, dog? What you going to do about it, man? Man, we're trying to get past the Lions and the Packers. What you going to do? We're good, right? That's the era of the Chicago Bears. Somebody should be able to have a T-shirt that says Bears are cool, because
it's coming out.
No, but I'm giving this to you though. I'm giving this to you because if you start it, then it's going to be on fire. As the influencer that you are, if you start it, it's going to set ablaze. It's going to be on fire. So I want you. I'm giving this to you in May. I'm telling you, take this. Put it on a T-shirt, put it on a mug, the Bears are cool, or the Bears are cool again. Because there's been so much panic over the years about how the Bears do their business, and this dude just takes his time methodically, right? Cerebral, from a cerebral standpoint, just says, no, we're going to level the franchise. Something we've never seen before. We've seen bad Bears teams. We've never seen the Bears be like, yeah, we're going to tank. You're what? You can't do that. What about all the people at Soldier Field? F all the people at Soldier Field. We're going to be a 3-win team. Oh, 3-win team. Okay. So what about next year? Yeah, we're just gonna be cool. Just add on. Oh, we got the number one pick. Here's DJ Moore. How about that? And how about this? We're going to try to be able to get a reclamation project in Chase Claypool. Go ahead, Justin. Go ahead, right? But try it though. But knowing that the Bears were not gonna be a playoff team, even though some did. He was just like, let's just see what happens. Justin, this is your turn. And he's got his book, and he's just writing down stuff. Every time they show him on Fox or CBS or whatever, it would be him with the ear pods listening to India RE. And there would be him just listening to music and just writing down notes, right? You see the games? He would just be there just like, oh, that's my jam. Okay.
And he's not listening to Joniak. No Joniak in here. It's in the RE. That's what he's going with.
It's Ryan Poles, man. I mean, what do you think Ryan Poles will listen to, right? Like that remix of Tracy Chapman.
I feel like Poles might have a little Jamiroquai going on in the headphones. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I feel like Poles is a man of culture, shall we say.
It's really chill, whatever it is, man. It's not Megadeth. Let's just put it that way. I mean,
that would be great. Like we're sitting there. He's like, he's the calmest dude in the room, and it's just straight up heavy metal blasting through it.
And he's just there.
Calming.
Exactly right. Like, I don't think it's that, Pat. I just think But he's got just a little just chill music there, you know, maybe, you know, a little Layla Hathaway. He's just got something that's like real smooth, right? With a V. Real smooth.
And it's just, smooth, yeah.
Just chilling, right? And that's what he's doing. He's just listening to that and just writing down, because we see him on TV, he's writing down little notes like, okay, Justin, yep, you're not the guy. So I'm already planning in October, maybe early November. Yeah, we're moving on. If we're bad enough, we'll get this number one pick, and boom, look what happened. So what I'm saying is I want you to take this moniker of him being cool or the Bears being cool, because they've gone through this swiftly, methodically, at their pace. That's usually not how it works around here, as you well know.
Yeah.
And you keep having losing seasons, you get fired quickly. I think there's a lot more space for Poles to operate now.
I think you're right. And the one thing I'll say, right, is if this second round of free agency isn't the time where we see Ryan Poles go out and add, all right, let's roll. We're heading into the season. I think the Bears are cool is a great way to break it down, because we know he's willing to trade second round picks, and you got him. We know that he's willing to go out there and say, oh, you know, listen, I want to see what the team looks like first. And then after, you know, 5-6 weeks of seeing what this team is, if we need to add, we can add. Guess what? I'll say this. What is the likelihood in our listeners' minds and your minds that we finish this season with that Carolina Panthers pick on this team? Because in my mind, you're talking about 10%. I don't think we get to the draft with that Panthers pick, seeing how Poles has operated. Oh, we need a wide receiver. Boom, I'll trade a second round pick, go get Chase Claypool. There's two rounds that Ryan Poles, he doesn't want to deal with. He doesn't want to deal with the second round. He doesn't want to deal with the fourth round. He's getting rid of those picks left and right.
Yeah,
I think that there's less of a chance that the Chicago Bears finish this season with that Carolina Panthers pick, especially once you see how the Panthers are playing, right? That'll play into it a lot, but like, I don't think they'll be very good. I watched their draft fairly closely as well, and Bryce Young may be in some trouble.
Yes, he is.
They just said, nah, he's fine with the guys he's got blocking for him.
But just like most first round draft picks, man, you go through the pain. Because the reason why that you were chosen is because your team sucks.
Yeah.
That's why. But that's why it's different with Caleb Williams. Don't let anyone tell you that this is the same old Bears, because you don't think that Bryce Young looks through the knot hole in the fence. He's like, what did Caleb Williams get? Oh, my God. I don't have any of that.
Yeah. Yeah. They got their wide receiver pick is basically being heralded as his ceiling being maybe what Tank Dell was last season. So a 700-yard, 5-touchdown guy. Our wide receiver, we heard TJ Houshmandzadeh and talked about this yesterday, basically say, there's nobody in the NFL like this guy. There's been players before, but right now there's no 6'4", 4'3", Larry Fitzgerald hands wide receiver in the NFL.
Man, I mean, and it tells you all you need to know, right? It tells you all you need. And I just think that for Caleb Williams, obviously health is a big factor. That's the obvious. But just him being to connect to the weapons he has, two veteran tight ends, three wide receivers, the offensive line can best of, you know, when you take a look at the health, that matters, because he needs to have that iron gate in front of him so he can get the ball out quickly. Right. So that's, and I'm sure that Justin in Pittsburgh, probably Justin Fields, probably thinks the same thing. Like, man, I never got any of this. I said, well, it was a grand scheme. It was a grand plan, you know. When Ryan Poles is a Super Bowl champion general manager, and he's sitting under the oak tree with Oprah, and they sit there and talk about
Oprah.
It. Yes, of course, under the oak tree. You've seen that, right? All the big interviews happen under the big tree.
Oh, yeah, under the oak tree.
And she's going to cross her legs, and she's going to say, Ryan, how did you do it? How did you do it, Ryan? How did you do it? And he's going to sit there with a smile. He's going to say, well, oh. Because he'll be able to call her O at that point.
He's that cool. The Bears are cool.
Yeah, he'll say, oh, listen, it all started with Justin Fields. he helped me so greatly. And we want to send a shout out to Justin Fields and to Lovie Smith and to the Atlanta Falcons for opening this whole thing up for us to be able to be where we are today, Super Bowl champions. I can't wait for that conversation.
Will we hear Stedman screaming from the house for Octopus?
And that's been the problem of that relationship.
I met the animal there, guys. Oh, calm down. He's a big, I saw this reported on the Daily Show. He's a big octopus guy, enjoys octopus for breakfast, but I guess don't we all. Let's get to our GM rankings here. Hoodie, appreciate you guys for tuning in, showing love. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave that 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. I want to have, while we got you on here, rank the GMs in the city of Chicago. We've got a very, very interesting group of GMs in this city. I mean, some who we feel have done absolutely nothing, some that we feel are at least trying, some that we feel are succeeding, and then, you know, there's the Bulls. Where do you feel? And I guess let's start here. Is Ryan Poles King Poles of the city of Chicago right now? Is he the number one guy on the list?
He is the number one general manager in Chicago sports. And there's no question. And I know people say, well, what has he won? People say, what has he won? Well, here's what I look at. He's building towards something. Jed Hoyer was part of the Theo regime, and he's building towards something too. But because the Bears rule in Chicago, it galvanizes the city. And Ryan Poles is the number one on my list.
It's so interesting, right? We've sat here and we've talked about Poles, and to me, he's the one that has the most future thinking that's going on, right? I look at this list right now, and my two right now, and I know a lot of people will have Jed Hoyer on there as two, but I kind of got to look at the Blackhawks right now. And I know it's a little bit further off, right? I know that it's a little bit further off. But Kyle Davidson has put his team in a position to not only to have the Caleb Williams of hockey. And the one thing about hockey is that usually your projected picks in hockey, your guys that they say are generational usually tend to be generational. I don't know if there's I can't think of one, like a major hockey miss where it was like, we thought this guy was going to be the greatest player to hit the ice, and it didn't happen. I would probably go Kyle Davidson too right now, because I think the Blackhawks have a long-term future, of course, with Connor Bedard, and they're still going to be in a great position heading into this draft to add to it, very much like Ryan Poles did with the Bears. To me, Jed Hoyer right now is three, because you got to show me. Like, I love the excitement around the Cubs. I love that the Cubs are leading the way right now. They're flying high. But didn't we see this last year? Right? Weren't we at All-Star break last year, and there was no way the Cubs were going to miss the playoffs? And then all of a sudden we're like, how'd the Cubs miss the playoffs?
Well, we just have these numbers switched here. I have Jed Hoyer at two only because he has the resources. He has the money to be able to make a difference. Like right now, the Cubs are tied for first place or around first place with Milwaukee. I expect them to be in the playoffs this year, because you can't do what you did last year and not have bullpen help. Jed Hoyer did not believe in the ball club last year. Didn't believe in the manager. That's why he fired him. That's why he fired David Ross. So now with Craig Council, and once again, the issues and the bugaboo with the Cubs is the bullpen, they will fix that. I think that Jed will have the autonomy to do that. So I have them two. I have the Chicago Sky third.
Ooh, you got the Sky going third in there.
Jeff Pagliuca is the general manager for the Chicago Sky. And we talk about star power, right? Angel Reese is in the house. Cardoso is in the house. I mean, sonically, your team was rebuilt in one draft. You have two stars. Now, one of them now, you know, Camille is out for 6 weeks.
4 to 6 weeks. 4 to 6 weeks shoulder injury.
But Angel Reese is there. And the reason why that I have him third is because your boy already locked in with a couple of tickets. I'm already in. And the Atlanta Dream game, you could come find me. You can find me at the LA Sparks game. A couple other ones that I'm looking into.
Now, Hoodie, yeah. Please. Do not make the same mistake that I don't know if you saw this that Kev on stage made.
What's that?
Where he ordered his women's basketball merch, and didn't realize that the women's basketball sizes pop up first. And do not make this mistake. Yeah. We will have to put it out on the Instagram if you do.
I have seen that. And thank God at Fanatics there is a large, extra large, 2X, and something in a bed sheet. So I locked in the bed sheet. Definitely, whether it's men's or women's, at least it'll fit me. And thank God for that. So I got something in a bed sheet, and I'm locked in with my Sky here. But I have them third. I have the Blackhawks fourth with Kyle Davidson because you only have a teenager. That's all you have so far. They're on their way up, though. They're going up the rankings. They only have one attraction, and that's Connor Bedard.
Yes. I agree with that. I just think it's – and in hockey, you have to have so much. But a lot of times, I think the one difference to me in hockey among any sport, maybe the NBA is kind of the same, but, like, when you have a Connor Bedard, it's a lot easier to convince people to say, hey, you see that thing, that kid right there? Mm-hmm. That one right there? The, you want to play with him? Oh yeah, I'd like to play with him. You know, we got money too. Yeah, I mean, we got options. We got resources to bring you in here, but you get to play with him. You get to be on a line with him. I've got Jeff Pagliosa right now fourth, just because I just want to see it. I think he has the best opportunity to move into third, possibly even second, because success in the WNBA, it is a growing league, but of how small the league is, right? You're talking about a 12-team league. Success in the WNBA from one season to the next can be up and down. I think this season they can hit the ground running. It may take them a little bit of time, though, right? Spoon trying to get her system worked in there, trying to get everybody kind of on the same page. Watching that first preseason game, it looks like they're still a little bit behind the eight ball, but there is room to grow. And so I think that right now I have him fourth just because – honestly, just because we've already seen the other two, right? I've seen Jed Hoyer's kind of beginning of this rebuild. And listen, for Cubs fans' sake, even though I'm a Sox fan, which we'll get to them. But for Cubs fans' sake, I hope you're right with adding to the bullpen because, again, I feel like we said this last year, right? I feel like we talked about they're going to add. They got to add. Yeah. There's no way they don't add. And then we were looking around by the end of the season. We was like, how did they not add? What's going on here? Like, I thought they wanted to make this big playoff push, but maybe, right? Like, I'll say this, positioning means a lot when you were at that point second or third in the division last year versus being the best team in the NL. It's a lot easier to go to ownership and go out there and say, we need to make this team as good as we can because right now they're really, really good. So I think that there'll be some interest to add for the Cubs this year. I'm going to go to my five right now. And this is a tough one because it's only five because six is so god awful, but they're both owned by the same guy.
Yep.
The Chicago Dogs. No, the Chicago Bulls right now.
Yeah.
And AK, I mean, listen, I guess in theory, and this is the GM, so technically this is Mark Eversley. In theory, there's a way for you to win us all back in, but it has to happen this offseason because the way that you've operated this team over three seasons of we just want to wait and see. We're going to wait and see. We're going to wait and see. What are you waiting for? The Chicago Bulls have been a team in this town for three seasons with this rebuild under AK that have been a 2-point difference between offensive and defensive rating. That means that you're going to be in almost every clutch game. That means that you're going to have to find a way to win games at the end of the game with talent that isn't very good at winning games at the end of the game. That means that you're more times than not going to have yourself in a situation where you're probably going to be on the losing end of a bucket unless you play perfect defense. And you've got a team that's got Vooch, DeMar DeRozan, and Zach LaVine on it. And in year four, you go, you know, maybe we need to make some changes.
Yeah. Yeah.
What triggered this?
Michael Reinsdorf. I mean, it had to be somebody. You don't make any deals, and all of a sudden you just wake up one morning and say, this is not good enough. Okay. Okay. No bleep, this hasn't been good enough. No, I mean, what a surprise. It's not good enough. It's almost like it's 5A, 5B. I mean, it could be the Sox. It could be the Bulls. It's either way. Like, you know, so we could just pound on the White Sox, and I could just say Chris Getz is the worst, but then Chris Getz was middling in the minor leagues. So now you're the general manager because the owner doesn't want to learn new people. He's in his late 80s and he doesn't want to learn someone new, which is really, you know, business malfeasance. The idea that you don't want to learn anybody, you don't want to. Okay, great. Okay, so you can pile on Getch, but then AK and Eversley have been at this longer, so I can put them last because you have an organization with no hope at all. Yeah, I mean, it's worse, Pat. It's worse than basketball hell. Basketball hell is like, you know, like Detroit or like Charlotte. But when you're the Bulls and you're sold out most nights and you're not doing anything with it, like you're taking the fans from granted, one. And two, you don't have any superstars. Shout out to Zach LaVine. You just don't have any superstar power. So you're just kind of you're in a treadmill of mediocrity.
Yeah.
That's what you are. So it could be 5A, 5B. It's the same. But I guess our bottom line is these are Reinsdorf teams that are at the bottom.
Yes. Yes. And that's the worst part about this, right? And they're run so incredibly similar. I'll say this. If we did flip them, if there's any hope, and maybe they're just bad at communicating it, maybe Chris Getz is just trying to bottom out and make this team as bad as he can for the draft capital, although that would seem dumb. Like they keep going through the same cycle of, you know, you see Garrett Crochet looking so good, and I just go, you know, Dylan Cease would look really good if he was in that rotation right now, but we got rid of that guy. Remember when Dylan Cease got good?
Yeah,
right. Remember we got him in here, we're like, oh snap, we got this Dylan Cease guy. You know who'd look really good next to him? Chris Sale.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like we go through these same cycles, and the White Sox are so similar to the Bulls, where you just keep saying the same things of like, man, I wish we had kept this person for if you evaluated this part right and you added it with this part, maybe we'd have something, right? My favorite thing was, I remember, and I said this, everybody with the Bulls, you can trade away Bobby Portis, we can always find another Bobby Portis. Guess what we haven't found in 6 years?
Bobby Portis.
Yeah. We went through a run. Listen, we went through a run of Bobby Portis's, right? The last Bobby Portis light guy that we were able to go out and get was Daniel Gafford, who, by the way, is shooting 70% in the playoffs right now as he's running up and down the court with Luka. But you can find another Daniel Gafford. Guess what we don't got? Another Daniel Gafford. You know what I mean? So, like, it's these are the two teams, and you hit the nail on the head. Jerry's okay with being in the basketball hell, the baseball hell, because he doesn't care. As long as the money's still rolling in. And that's the part that sucks. And with the Bulls, I don't know if you've been to a Bulls game lately, Hoodie, but it does not feel like there are fans there. It feels like there is a group of business meetings happening all at once, sprinkled in with some fans. It does not feel like I went to the Bulls Pacers game. We were up 30 on a team we should not have been beating, a team that is right now dominating through the playoffs and had a hard fought game versus the Knicks yesterday. And it was silent. Like, I yelled out something at the court and then I went home, found the spot, and I was like, I can hear myself.
That's pretty funny. A bunch of business meetings. And that means it's all over the United Center. So that means at 300 level two business meetings.
Yep. It's sad, man. It has become one of the spot that used to be the madhouse on Madison is just the house on the house that's built over on Madison. It's over off Madison now. It's no longer the madhouse. It's over off Madison. And there are games, right? And there are moments where the crowd gets into it and it's loud. But I just remember, right, when it was Derek and. You know, even some of those early Kirk Heinrich years. I'm a little younger, Hoodie. I wasn't there for Jordan in the stands.
Yeah, I understand.
But the building shook.
Yeah.
Like, I remember being at a game and I was like, the building's vibrating right now.
Yes.
What's happening? Are we in an earthquake?
It's so funny that we're talking about this because the security guard in the cube outside as we walk in the building, Mark, you see him. You probably don't know his name, but it's like, he's got a Chicago accent, and he says, I don't know, honey, what's going on with that? You know, that guy. But Mark, it's so funny. We were talking about this morning. I told him, I said, Mark, there's no way that I can own a team and my teams, the Bulls and the White Sox, would look like that. I just couldn't do it. I could not live with myself as an owner.
Yeah.
And then no matter how much money I'm making, man, money's going to be there. Okay. From a television standpoint, from a league standpoint, I'm already a millionaire. I've got money. I've got my kids are taken care of. Now, what's next is the winning and always trying to be in the mix. I would rather be the Los Angeles Clippers trying, okay, overpaying and trying, than to be the shits. I can't do that. I couldn't do that as an owner, man. There's no way that I can just be like, yeah, look at my United Center. It's full. 18,000 people. They're just robotized sheep that just go there because they think Jordan's going to come back. And then on the other side of town is the White Sox. You go from the west side to the south side, and there's, you know, again, 5,000 people there, 10,000 people there. You know, on a good Saturday night, you get 28,000 because they got some gimmick happening. But the ball club sucks. But there's no way I could just be like, yep, I own that. That is the equivalent of you being the landlord of a terrible home, a terrible townhome. Just like, you see that building? You mean with the 2x4s falling off the side and the paint chipped and people falling off your stairs because the concrete is all screwed up? Yep, I own that. I couldn't do that. I could not do that. I could not be an owner of that and say, see that house? See how decayed it is? I own that and be proud of it? Absolutely not.
I think what's interesting too is, right, when you look at this rankings, there are only two people on this list that it doesn't feel like they identify themselves as a member of the team. Right? When I look at Ryan Poles a Bear. Ryan Poles walks as a Bear, talks as a Bear, talks like he's been a Bears fan his entire life. He's a Bear, right? Kyle Davidson, Jed Hoyer, those guys, they represent their teams as if I'm going through this with you. I can't remember the last time I saw AK at a game. are you watching at home? Remember season one? He's sitting courtside every day, or he's in the booth.
Yeah,
right. We got the general manager of the Chicago Bulls in the building here. Look at him overseeing his team. This guy keeps his eye on the team, always watching, ever vigilant. Him and Pat Riley are catching up on MASH marathons as they take naps in between the middle of the day. Right, I can't remember the last time I saw AK watching the Bulls. And I know that's just an optics thing, of course, right? He's keeping up with the day-to-day of the team, but like, it doesn't feel like Acme is a part of the Bulls. Heck, I'll give Garpax credit. It felt like it was a mediocre team. They bottomed out and it continued to not work, but it felt like they're going through this with you. It just felt like they were steering us in the right direction. I feel the same way about Chris Getz. Like these guys are like, I'm here. Like the paycheck means I have to walk in this building every day. That's the only vibe I get from them.
I just couldn't do that. And I just know that I'm a talking head and a sports fan and blessed to be able to do this with you and do it on ESPN Chicago and SiriusXM and the other outlets that I'm doing. But I just could not go in there feeling like I have to do, I'll just half-ass it. I just could not do that, man. Just like, this is why we take so much solace into Ryan Poles. It's not like we're, you know, making George McCaskey like the greatest owner in the world or the McCaskey fan. We're not doing that because that's not right. Because we've seen some erosion with the Bears or them not being going all out to be able to make a great football, you know, kingdom. All right, yeah. They've always come short, or there is a financial guy that's making football decisions, or they're a mom and pop and not even having a general manager. I remember a time there was the Bears didn't even have a GM. There's a pro personnel person, which is crazy, right? Imagine this is up to 2000 now. This is not like
this is not that long ago.
No, like not even have a GM in place. So what I'm saying is that this is why we as Bears fans feel great about the organization, because there's a direction. There's a president of football operations there that's trying to build a stadium, and Kevin Warren. And when he walks in the room, the mood changes. When he walks in the room, it's different.
When
Poles walks in the room, it's like, okay, here's a guy who knows he's doing. Ian Cunningham. And just down the line, it's like, oh, these people are trying to put together a football team. But not just on the field, but trying to establish a culture. The Bears are doing it right, of all teams. The Bears are doing it right, and the White Sox and the Bulls, not so much.
It's sad, man. It's very sad. But hopefully, you know, this offseason will be the change of that for the Bulls. AK says that changes are coming. Changes will happen to the core.
He doesn't know. He's lying.
You know what I mean? I'm sitting here. I'm doing Locked On Bulls every week, and I'm just going, I mean, it sounds good. Yeah, you trade this guy here. That sounds perfect. And then you look at it from their perspective. It's like, why do they want him? That's what I keep asking. Why do they want him? Right. Well, you know, they could, you know, take this deal or make it. But why? Why would they do that? What would make them go, that's the answer for me? That's my biggest question with all of it, man. And with the Sox, with the Bulls, with I'll say this. 4 out of 6 ain't bad. And I think we got 4 out of 6 when you look at this. You got 4 GMs in the city that actually look like they give a hoot about, you know, the people of this city and bringing a winning culture to this city. The problem is that the two that I'm probably the biggest fans of in the White Sox and the Bulls are the two that could care less.
Right. Right. But you know what? But you know, we have the Bears.
We got the Bears. That's all I got. And I'm going to hold on to it forever. My dad keeps telling me, he's like, listen, come watch soccer with me. Come root for this. I had to look at him the other day and go, Pop, listen, you made me a Bears fan, a Bulls fan, a Sox fan. You're not doing well. My life has not been great. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't know if I trust you on a soccer team right now.
No,
but I got the Blackhawks out of it. Yeah, it worked out. Yeah. Hoodie, we appreciate you for pulling up and showing love as always. Let the people know where they can find you. And, of course, let the people know what you got coming up.
The Cap and J-Hood Morning Show. Strong on the J-Hood, by the way. The
Cat is very strong on the J-Hood. Strong J-Hood.
Strong on the J-Hood Show.
Yeah.
7 to 10 on ESPN 1000, and also we're on the ESPN Chicago app. We have our own YouTube channel, too, by the way. Cap and Jay Hood is on YouTube. Hit that subscribe button. That way you miss nothing of our nonsense and folder brawl between 7 and 10. And then from there, Good Karma Wrestling. Ah, yes. Good Karma Wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
We're a wrestling fan. We're on Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 Central, every single Thursday. Give you the best in pro wrestling conversation. And I got so much more, but then the government's listening, so I'll stop right there.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, not that information. We don't need that one.
The W-2 stack up, boy. I'm not throwing out my UIC Flames, you know, baseball and basketball that I'm doing, too. I'm doing a lot, but you know what? I'm having fun.
You're all over the place, and we love it, Hoodie, and we love you. Appreciate you pulling up and showing love as always, man. For you guys out there, hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave that 5-star review. Make sure you tap in with Hoodie with everything he's got going on. Y'all stay safe out there, Chicago. Bear down. One love. And Ryan, let's get an edge in here. I appreciate that. Peace.